It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson. Advertising's proximity to content has always had its pitfalls. For instance, if you were Samsung, you might not want this ad on YouTube.
Thanks to the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 with S Pen. Perfect for busy Americans like us.
Playing in front of a video like this on YouTube.
Samsung just voluntarily recalled an estimated 2 million Galaxy Note 7s as a safety precaution, since some of the batteries are exploding inside of the phone.
You wouldn't do that, of course, because it would be awkward and it wouldn't sell a ton of phones. Well, advertisers in the UK have been up in arms this week over much more serious examples of bad ad placement, where advertisements on YouTube were running adjacent to videos that could be broadly defined as hate speech. YouTube has now, after a lot of complaints from advertisers, changed its policies. Lindsay Turntine of CNET is here to explain. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, Ben.
The latest news starts with the UK government pulling taxpayer-funded ads from YouTube.
That's right. There was a newspaper investigation in the UK that suggested that there were UK government ads running next to videos that were essentially hate speech. And so as a result, the UK government said, and understandably, we don't want our ads running next to that content on YouTube.
And some other companies followed suit, right, and started boycotting essentially YouTube.
Exactly. So over the weekend, Marks and Spencer said, we're not going to be advertising until you sort this out. And then more and more businesses started to back out.
And what has YouTube now done in order to give all kinds of advertisers more control?
Philip Schindler, who's the chief business officer for YouTube, posted what is really a very long blog post explaining what YouTube is going to do. It's a really detailed explanation, including setting safer defaults for brands, which means that they're changing the settings for ads so that the content has to meet a certain level of what they call brand safety. They're also going to make it easier for advertisers to say, I found an adjacent piece of content that I don't like, exclude me from any content by this publisher. And then they're also giving tighter controls to make it easier for brands to say what they want to be next to and what they don't. So kind of fine-tune where they want to place their ads.
It seems like this is a big deal for Google's bottom line, right?
It does seem like Google really wants advertisers to feel comfortable, especially in a media environment that feels very hostile right now in lots of different ways.
The subtext here being, please don't go to Facebook Live instead of us.
Exactly.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh man, I tell you, not a day goes by that I don't come into contact with the idea that learning to code is the way of the future. And in recent years, the coder or software developer has enjoyed and suffered some pretty specific stereotypes in the media. But the truth is, developers are pretty hard to pigeonhole. You want evidence? The latest annual survey and resulting report from Stack Overflow. It's a website, an online community that is used by developers of all stripes to solve coding problems and answer coding questions. The company's report on the global developer community is out today. Joel Spolsky is co-founder and CEO. Hi, Joel. Can I get a job description for developer?
For me, it's anybody who creates software, any part of it, and the heart of creating software is coding, right? Like typing lines of code, but there's also a lot of design, testing.
Designers, yeah.
Distribution. There's just all kinds of parts to that.
Did you find commonalities here?
Where we start to see commonalities, the technologies that are kind of moving up in importance that they're excited about. You know, there's a programming language called Rust, which most people have probably never heard of yet, but it's definitely one of the up-and-coming languages that people are excited to work with. There used to be a programming language called Visual Basic, which I worked on back in early in my career. It is now the most feared programming language, the one that people want to work with the least. Sadly. And then there's an awful lot of things where you just have to do it in JavaScript. So that's probably the number one language right now.
A lot of people who aren't in tech or this part of the tech industry might assume that most developers work at startups. But no. Your data from this survey doesn't really bear that out, and it's not really true, right?
No, I think most programmers work at a health insurance company taking care of billing. That's if you've ever gotten a bill from your health insurance company. You probably realize just how much logic there is there in the real world. And that's one of the big changes, what software developers do infuse everything about everyday life.
And this is an interesting point. You found, for instance, in this survey that a lot of developers felt underpaid and they're doing work that I guess some might characterize as like the new blue collar work.
It's sort of a middle collar, I guess. There's a few points there. One is that the salaries vary kind of dramatically, usually based on location, right? So San Francisco is a great place to be a software developer, whereas there are an awful lot of software developers who are some great software developers that live in sort of cheaper parts of the world or places where there's just not as much demand, who are not making as much money. And that's why one of the most requested things we see from software developers is companies that are willing to work with remote developers.
Do you think that there are innate skills when it comes to becoming a developer, or do you think it can all be taught?
I think there are skills that are required to be a developer. I think it takes a lot of a form of logical thinking and intuitive thinking. There's a particular skill that I've noticed that all good developers have, which is the ability to think at different levels of abstraction at the same time, to keep in your head both the big picture and the small picture simultaneously. You see people that have it, and they can always pick up programming pretty quickly, and people don't have it often struggle.
Joel Spolsky is CEO and co-founder of the developer community Stack Overflow. Joel, thanks a lot for talking to me.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.